Well, good morning. It is so good to be with you here at First Baptist Church in Cleveland, Tennessee. And my name is Dan Leanne. I was born and raised in Melbourne, Australia. That's the reason my voice is this way. My mother and father are Malaysian Chinese. That's the reason my face is this way. But 4 years ago, my family and I moved to Anderson, South Carolina. That's the reason I drive a truck and say y'all a lot. And it is a real honor and privilege to be with you, or y'all, in this service. And I believe that God never makes a mistake. I don't believe there are any accidents in the kingdom of God. I believe that everything happens by his providence and by his purpose and his plan. And so that means it was God's intention for some reason for you amazing, beautiful Tennessee Americans here in Cleveland to be connecting with your long-lost Chinese Australian cousin to enjoy his presence. Come on, and to dive into the Word of God. Amen. I just believe that with all of my heart. And so I'm just going to share a simple word and a simple encouragement that I really feel the Holy Spirit put into my heart for y'all. Is that cool? Like Pastor Jordan said, this from a human point of view came about pretty last minute, but I'm telling you, I felt God speak so clearly about an encouraging word he wanted me to bring to you. And I really believe that when the created, come on, trust the creator to speak. When we hear his word and we respond in faith, supernatural things happen. Amen? I believe that dead things come back to life. I believe hopeless situations get turned around. I believe that in the darkest of spaces, light can shine and a difference can be made when we lean into the words that God speaks to us. And so I wrote it down, like literally, I was praying yesterday and I felt this word kind of crystallized in my heart. Let me just read it to you verbatim. I really felt in my spirit, God wants to say, hey, First Baptist Cleveland, God wants to restore your joy. For your journey as an individual, in your marriage, in your family, God wants to restore your joy. That's what this weekend is all about. From the singing of songs and worshiping God and seeing children honor their creator to this very moment, I really believe God has set you up to restore your joy. I believe he wants to bring laughter back into your days. He wants to bring laughter back into your homes. He wants to bring laughter back into your marriage. He's trying to restore your joy. Like it says in Psalm 30 verse 11, he wants to turn your mourning into dancing. He wants to peel off your sackcloth of loss and clothe you again with joy. Joy is a hard word to define. We can turn to the dictionary, we can study the original Hebrew and Greek words, but the reality is, joy as a concept, joy as a reality, is really hard to exhaustively explain. But everyone in this room knows joy when they see it. When you see someone who's overflowing with joy, you can tell it. You know joy when you're feeling it. Unfortunately, there are way too many people in this world, way too many people in this room who know what it's like to have had joy and to be losing it. Unfortunately, there are way too many people in this room who know what it's like to once upon a time have had joy but not know where it is anymore. And it's really important that we talk about the joy in our journey because God designed your soul in such a way to run off joy. You need joy to power through in this journey. That's the reason in the book of Nehemiah chapter 8, the Bible reminds us, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. It was fuel for your soul. Just like some of y'all drive trucks that run off diesel, it's a very peculiar fuel. Our souls need a peculiar fuel, and that fuel is joy. And you know this to be a fact. You know that life is different when you're full of joy. Work is different. That 9 to 5 just goes faster. Your relationships are different. You have a lot more patience. You have a lot longer a fuse before you fall into that fight when you have joy. Those little molehills remain molehills. They don't become mountains of anxiety or stress when you have joy. When you have joy in your life, you power through every single day. Flip it. You know what life is like without joy. All of a sudden, everything is so much more difficult. Those little tensions all of a sudden flare up into fights. Marriage becomes a very dry and arid place. You're walking on tender hooks without joy. That incline in life which you used to be able to power through all of a sudden becomes a steep hill where you feel like you're pushing a very heavy wheelbarrow with a flat tire. That's what life is like without joy. And the reality is all of us as a humanity are knit together by this common thread. All of us have experienced very similar things in the last 16, 17 months. We have burnt through our joy, come on, at an unprecedented rate. It doesn't matter if you're rich, it doesn't matter if you're poor. Your joy tank has been tested. It doesn't matter if you're educated or you're relatively uneducated, all of our joy stocks have fallen a little. It doesn't matter if you're black, it doesn't matter if you're white, it doesn't matter if you're yellow, it doesn't matter if you're warm honey brown like you, ma'am. We are all knit together by this common thread. All of our joy tanks, come on, have been tested in the last 16, 17 months. Life has been that much harder to do for our lack of joy. The word pandemic, the word quarantine, have robbed us of joy. Face masks that were so scratchy and itchy, not being able to go within 6 feet of loved ones, have robbed us of joy. Division, tension, anger in the community has robbed us of joy. Uncertainty, fear, doubt, worry has robbed us of joy. Remember we had to like ration our toilet paper for a while? That robs you of joy. So Houston and Cleveland, Tennessee, we have a problem. You were designed by God in such a way to operate off joy. Life has dished up a bitter pill that we've all had to swallow that's robbed our joy. So here's the question, how is joy restored? Well, I'm glad you asked, because God wants you to know the answer to that question, because God is in the business of restoring joy. Just like some people here in this room, when you see a piece of antique furniture, you get excited because you know that piece of furniture can be restored, or you might have some Chip and Joanna Gaineses here in this room who, when you see a fixer-upper, you get excited because you can see that flip and how it can be restored. When God sees one of his children lacking joy, he rubs his holy hands together and he says, this is the exact kind of thing I love to do. That's the reason David could so confidently declare in Psalm 51, hey, restore to me, God, the joy of my salvation. Or in other words, I need joy and you're the source of it and you're in the business of restoring it. So God, would you do it? So what I want to do is I want to help you here this morning, flowing into the afternoon, see your joy restored. Seriously, ask yourself that question. How is your joy tank looking right now? You know how on everyone's dashboard, there's like a fuel gauge showing you how your gas tank is looking. You know what I'm saying? There's a full, there's an empty. Right next to that little gas tank, there's a little light. Come on. Well, what do you do when that little light goes off on your dashboard? Do you do what my wife does as a smart, insightful, intelligent, wise human being and see that as an indicator that you need to pull over and find some gas? Or do you do what I do? See it as the beginning of the game. Like, how many more miles can I squeeze out of this thing? You know what I'm saying? It's telling me 50 miles, but there's at least 150 in this thing. If I drive it right, if I'm conservative going up the hills, if I take my foot off the accelerator going down the hill, I can squeeze. So what do you do when that light goes off? Is your joy tank light going off right now? Well, God wants to restore it. Come on, God wants to fill it. God wants to leave you changed out of this gathering. You may have come in here this morning like a 2 out of 10 when it comes to joy. He wants you out of this message to go all the way to a 9, and then you're gonna hit Cracker Barrel for a little bit of lunch. It's gonna take you all the way to 10. He wants to restore your joy. So how? Well, 3 truths I wanna share with you that come from the Word of God that can begin a conversation and start a work that sees your joy restored. If you're taking down notes, you can pull out your leather-bound journals right now and your pens. An old mentor of mine used to tell me that a blunt pencil was more effective than a sharp mind in remembering the things that God whispers to you about. So God wants to talk to you, write it down. If you have an iPhone or an iPad, you can open up the notebook, like the note app there. That's amazing because that's a wonderful piece of technology you have right there. If you have like an Android or one of those Google devices, you can put it away. I've got nothing for you from this point on in the message. I want to know where joy is restored, how joy is restored. Where does this joy that my soul was meant to run off come from? First and foremost, I want you to write this down. Joy comes from the presence of Jesus. More Jesus, more joy. That's the reason the Bible tells in the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, for the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. The Spirit of God is just Jesus with us every day. Just as Jesus promises disciples, hey, don't worry, don't fear. I'm not gonna leave you as orphans. I'm gonna give you another counselor. He's introducing the third person of the Godhead. I want you to know, just as Jesus was with his disciples, the Spirit is with us. And when we experience Jesus, joy is the fruit. It's the fallout of being in fellowship with the Spirit. And here's the good news. You can have as much of Jesus's presence as you want. It is not dictated or determined by how loving God is. God could not love you with any more love than he loves you with right now. You can have, come on, as much of his presence as you want. And as you can have as much of his presence as you want, you can have as much of the joy that comes from his presence as you want. Come on, smile. That's really good news. That means your joy isn't determined by your personality. There are some people who think that they can't be a joyous person because they're not a joyous personality. But joy is not connected to your personality. It's connected to the person who is Jesus. There are way too many grumpy people in the world. Sourpusses, you know what I'm saying? Kind of they roll into church like someone like, you know, kicked their dog and, you know, stole their lawnmower overnight, and they walk into service, and then during the singing they're kind of just staring a little bit, and they walk out grumpier than they came. That should not be the experience, come on, of the children of God walking into the house of God, because we're experiencing his presence. There are some people who are saying, you know what? I can't have any joy in my life, Dan, because it's not my personality. I'm just a negative kind of person. My mother and father were negative people. I got like a negative blood type. You know, I got no positivity in my life. I'm here, I'm just like a grumpy person. It's the way that God made my face. You know what I'm saying? I got RBF. You know what RBF is? Like resting bitter face. And this is the way I am. Now, I believe you have a personality and it was given to you by God. It's connected to your soul. God has given you a very unique way to look at life. I believe that. But I also believe that the joy that you can experience in your journey isn't dictated or determined by your natural proclivity, propensities, or your personality. It is dictated by how much of Jesus you experience. I know people who are like kind of glass half empty kind of individuals, but they can be marked by joy because they know that Jesus's presence is on offer to them all the time. Go smile. That's really good news because this means that your joy isn't dictated or determined by your circumstances. Way too many people think that joy is determined by what's happening around them. That's not joy, that's called happiness. And I like happiness. Happiness is that high feeling that you get when things happen in your favor. That's where the word happiness comes from. Happenings in your favor. I like happiness, but I refuse to run off happiness. Why? Because my circumstances change way too much. If you connect your soul to happiness, you're in for a roller coaster ride indeed of ups and downs and ups. Happy, 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 sad, sad, sad. You know what I'm saying? Happiness is outside in. Hey, money stuff going good, happy, happy, happy. Money disappears, sad, sad, sad. Stock market going great, happy, happy, happy. Stock market crashing, sad, sad, sad. Having a good hair day, happy, happy, happy. Having a no hair day, sad, sad, sad. Come on, Tennessee football doing great, happy, happy, happy. Hey, that play gets overturned, you know what I'm saying? Sad, sad, sad. I got no problem with you pursuing happiness. Just don't link your soul to it. Because this world, my friends, is way too wacky. Happiness is outside in. Joy is inside out. The unchanging, same yesterday, come on today and forever, Jesus brings joy when the sun is shining, when the rain is falling, when the market is surging, when the market is crashing, when you got a clean bill of health, when the doctor's got bad news, when Tennessee is playing great, when Tennessee's playing the way they've been playing in the last couple of years. I'm telling you, how cool is this? What a great country you live in. You got like an Asian Australian immigrant standing in your church making fun of your football team in this free, God bless America. You know what I'm saying? But you can have joy no matter the circumstances because Jesus didn't flinch in any of those circumstances, amen? That's the reason you gotta prioritize his presence. Make it the most important thing and the first thing of every single day. Come on, more presence, more joy. That's the reason the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is I turn on worship music. There's a lot of noise in the world, am I right? I'm gonna make sure that the loudest noise in my ears and in my heart first thing is praise and worship of God and his presence filling my room, amen? That's the reason I go to my study and I read my Bible. Not because I'm trying to memorize verses or write sermons, I just wanna hear his voice. I wanna feel his presence. Come on, that's the reason I pray. I hit the ground, I fall on my knees and I talk to God and guess what, he talks back. Why? Because I'm seeking his presence. That's the reason we come to church. I like online, and if you are traveling or if you're sick and you can't make it to church, hey, online is a great experience, but it is not a substitute for meeting with your brothers and sisters because where two or three are gathered, come on, in his name, there is his presence. More presence, amen, more joy. Point number two, write this down. Not only is joy restored when we experience his presence, joy is restored when you have perspective. Perspective brings joy. That's the reason Pastor James in the book of James says, hey, consider it pure joy. Brothers, sisters, young and old, irrespective of your background, irrespective of what you're going through, you can consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Can you see what's happening? Based on your decision to face trials in a certain way, you can either see joy flourish in your environment or fade in your environment. Bloom in an environment or bust in an environment. You can overflow with joy, or whatever little joy you had can dissipate and disappear, all based on the way you consider something, the way you face a trial. Specifically, I would like to challenge you to make a decision to continually in your journey to face each day through the lens of gratitude. There are many people in the world who have a lens of grumbling through which they look, make a decision to time and time again, look at every situation, look at every single family episode, look at every single bank statement, look at every single workflow sheet, look at every single subject you're doing at school. Look at that through the lens of gratitude and it changes everything. Looking at your life through the lens of grumbling robs you of joy. Let me give you a really practical example. Just think about the last couple of hours of your life, looked at through the lens of grumbling. All right, and you wake up this morning and, oh, here we go, it's a Sunday. The sun is shining, but I guess I gotta go to church. I didn't sleep good last night. In fact, oh, I got a bad back. Oh, well, I'm gonna go to church today and I better have some breakfast first. So you go to the fridge and you open up the fridge door and you wanna have some cereal. Who drank all the cow milk? It's no cow milk here. What's this almond milk stuff? What kind of hippie invented almond milks? And here I am and I've gotta get dressed and I gotta go to church and there's traffic everywhere. Cleveland, Tennessee, I moved here to get away from the traffic and now there's traffic everywhere. And now I get to church and there's lots of people in the parking lot and there's someone at the front door with a big smile on their face. I don't trust people that smile that big this early in the morning. And I get here and lo and behold, someone's sitting in my seat. That's someone in my seat. Don't they know that's my seat? I've been coming here for years. I've been giving and sowing and tithing, and that's my seat. Someone's sitting in my seat, and I'm sitting here in my seat, and now I've got to sit in another seat, and we're singing these songs. And I don't theologically agree with these songs. In fact, I think we should only sing songs that come straight out of the book of Psalms. I don't read the book of Psalms, but I think they should come out of the book of Psalms. And I've got a Chinese guy with a funny accent, and he's yelling at me. Can you feel, come on, the joy leave the room when you look at your life through that lens? How about you make a decision to say, you know what? I'm not looking through that lens. I'm looking through the lens of gratitude. And you wake up this morning and you're kind of going, woo, it's a cool morning, but that's all good. The cool morning means that it's that deer season is upon us and I'm going to be getting me one in the next couple of months. And I've got a bad back, but it's all good. A bad back just reminds me I didn't die in my sleep. And here I am, I'm in my fridge. I'm trying to find some cow milk, but there's no cow milk. There's almond milk. Praise God for almond milk. Someone took the time to work out where the udders are on that little almond, and they milked that little thing. And now I've got some almond milk. And I'm coming to church this morning, and there's traffic everywhere. Praise God for traffic. Because you know what traffic is? It's just a reminder that the world is getting back to normal. And here I am at church, and someone's at the front door, and they're smiling big. Praise God for a volunteer who came hours before to warm up this environment to make it an amazing place for me to worship God. Come on. I'm walking into the room, and someone is sitting in my seat. Praise God someone's sitting in my seat. Why? Because that means someone who doesn't usually come along to church came along to church this week, because everyone who usually comes to church knows that's my seat. And here I am, I'm worshiping God, I'm praising God. We got beautiful children and they're singing praises to God. I'm loving this. And here's a Chinese guy and he's a cool looking cat. He looks like he does push-ups and I don't understand a word he's saying, but I like his energy, man. I like his energy. Can you feel the difference? Come on. Can you feel it? Yeah. Practice gratitude before you fight next time. Practice gratitude before you worry next time. Practice gratitude before you get crippled with anxiety again next time. Practice gratitude before you yell at your spouse next time. Practice gratitude before you curse your job next time. And I promise you, you're gonna feel so much more joy. You're gonna experience so much more joy in your journey. Amen? My wife and I love board games. We've been married coming up to 24 years now, but we started dating when we were 13 years old. And one of the things that we've always loved is we love playing board games. You know, is that what you call it in America? Like board games, like Monopoly and that kind of stuff, yeah? And so still to this day, like we have game nights, but the most important game that we've learned how to play in our 24 years of marriage is the gratitude game. One person just shares something that they're thankful for and the other one tries to top it. And then I come back at you. And then she comes, you know what I'm saying? And we kind of go back and forth. And then she wins. It's a good principle in marriage. You know what I'm saying? Like, I promise you, you learn how to be great at that game, you will never be lacking joy. Can someone say a good amen to that? Thirdly and lastly, joy not only comes from the presence of Jesus, and joy not only comes from perspective, joy also comes from persevering, not giving up. One of my favorite promises in all of the Bible is found in Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. The Bible tells us, may the God of hope, can I just remind you, that's the God we have, amen? He's not the God of confusion. He's not the God of fear. He's not the God of vengeance. He's not the God of anger. He's the God of hope. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Can you see what's happening? The God of hope promises to fill you with all kinds of joy, pure joy, overcoming powerful joy, ultra HD 4K joy, as you trust in him, all joy. Come on, everyone say all joy. Say all joy like an Australian, all joy. Say all joy like an American, all joy. Say all joy like a Chinese guy, all joy. I taught you languages, a little bit racist as well, but. He wants to fill you, come on, with all joy. But it's as you trust in him. Persevere in trust, get filled with joy. Stand in faith, don't run in fear, get filled with joy. Lean into him, come on, don't hide from him, get filled with joy as you trust in him. That's been my testimony over the last 8 or 9 months. By December 2020, I was basically empty when it came to joy. If you're looking at me and you're thinking, hey, he's a naturally positive guy, you're right. I'm a naturally energetic kind of individual. I've always been a glass half full kind of guy. I don't know if my mother didn't breastfeed me. She gave me Red Bull. So maybe that was, I don't know, something happened. Pray for my wife. But all of my joy was basically spent by December 2020. As a pastor, we do this because we love people. And when you go through a pandemic that forces you to not see your people, it breaks your heart. When your church opens up again and you can't find half of your people, it takes your broken heart and smashes it into smithereens. Add to that, it was really difficult for pastors in 2020. It was difficult for small business owners. It was difficult for high school students. It was difficult for parents. It was difficult for first responders. I get it was difficult for everyone, but for pastors in particular, because it felt like everything a pastor did was wrong. Open your church. You're trying to hurt people. Keep the doors closed. You don't have any faith. Listen to one segment of society, you hate this segment of society. Try to understand this segment of society, you don't care about it. Added to that, all of my family basically still live in Melbourne, Australia. And Melbourne, Australia is right now going through the longest lockdown anywhere on planet Earth. 242 days in they are. My parents, for 242 days, except for about 30 days, have only been allowed to leave their house for 1 hour a day and stay. They have to walk within 1.5 miles of their house. They've been on house arrest. And so every day I'm FaceTiming my aging mother and father, watching them grow sadder and sadder as my mother's hair goes wider and wider. To cap that all off, I get COVID in December. And it's not like that cool kind of teenage COVID. Like kind of, oh, I just lost my smell for like a day. I felt better after. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about that old man COVID. kind of take me to a hospital, give me a ventilator kind of COVID. Everything's aching, everything's sore, my mind's going crazy. And I was over it. So one night I'm trying to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. I'm over 40, so you got to go at least 3 times a night. I get halfway to the toilet and I fall down. And I find myself lying on the carpet crying. So my beautiful wife of nearly 24 years jumps out of bed and she lays by my side in the dark. She grabs my hand and that promise from Romans 15 comes to mind. So I start speaking it out in faith. I'm trusting in you, so fill me with joy. You're a God of hope. Fill me with joy. I'm just here to testify. It was like electricity that came from heaven that hit our hands and it flowed down my arm into my body and it has changed the way that I've done life. Come on, in the last 10 months. And I'm speaking this out in faith. This is going to be your experience as well, that today was meant to be a turning point in your journey. And I'm telling you, some of the joy that's been lost is going to get restored. Some of the laughter that's been destroyed is going to come back. Come on, some smiles that you haven't seen for a long time are all of a sudden going to reappear because God is in the business of restoring joy. If you believe that, just praise Him for a moment with a clap. And that's why I got up way earlier than I usually do on a Sunday morning to get out to Cleveland, Tennessee. Thank God I didn't have to drive to Cleveland, Ohio this morning. I'll take Tennessee. To let you know that God sees you, He knows what you've been through, He knows how your joy tank is looking right now. And He is eagerly desirous to fill you up. Come on, afresh and anew.